to our way of thinking, and obviously to the way of thinking of the people at the time of Jesus, he did things that kind of threw them off. I mean, he was recognized to be a holy and a good man, and he had followers who firmly believed in that. But they had a problem when he would associate with somebody like Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, as I read about him, he was a tax collector, and tax collectors were obviously hated because they worked for the Roman Empire, and that was absolute number one evil. So they hated him for that. In addition to it, the tax collectors made their money by overcharging if they could get away with it. And so they had the reputation of being cheats, being very dishonest. So when this little guy, apparently he was a little man, decided he wanted to see who Jesus was, and he climbs up that tree, everything was out of dignity. I mean, people of his stature just didn't do that kind of stuff. Number one, he was an adult, so running in the presence of a crowd was considered immature. Climbing up a tree was certainly a very childlike thing. But he was willing to risk all that because he wanted to see who Jesus was. It didn't say he had any good intentions or bad intentions. He just wanted to see who he was. So when Jesus gets there and looks up and sees him, he said, "Zacchaeus, I need to stay at your house today." He invited himself into this sinner's house. And of course, Zacchaeus was thrown to death. But the people couldn't quite understand this. Why does he go to the house of a sinner? And Jesus kept saying time after time, "I've come not to save the saved, the self-righteous. I've come to save those who know they need salvation." You know, I think of our present Pope, Pope Francis. I always find it interesting that they said when he was Cardinal Archbishop in Argentina, that he would frequently spend the evenings walking on the street, bringing food to the homeless, visiting with them, sitting down and talking to them. As Holy Father, he invites them to come have breakfast with him. Sometimes he makes breakfast for them. When he goes into a city or into a new country, one of the things he always seems to have on the agenda early in the trip is a visit to a prison. And he always goes to the prison to visit those who are considered incorrigible and in our judgment, they should probably spend the rest of their lives locked up. But he goes there to let them know that there's somebody who loves them and to just give them a little hope that there is a better way of life for them. Who knows? Who knows what that putting that seed is going to do to some of those people, some of those criminals who maybe have had no one say to them, "I love you," since the time they were born. So they kind of all give us a lesson. Now, we tend to avoid people who bother us too much. And if somebody is a criminal, we make sure we keep our distance. I admire the work of many deacons in our diocese who do prison ministry, who go visit the prisoners, talking to them, just trying to give them hope. And not just deacons, but many members of our parish communities who do that on a regular basis. Maybe they don't expect to change anybody's life dramatically, but they simply want to go there and say, "God, who makes all things, as the Book of Wisdom says, he makes all things and he loves everything that he has made, even though sometimes it is not perfect." And of course, we all fit into that category. We can all say, I'm not that bad, but maybe I'm capable of a lot more. So instead of criticizing like the people of old used to do, what we ought to do is say, look at the actions of like our Pope Francis does. And instead of criticize what he does, look at him and say, he is really trying to bring that teaching and message of Jesus Christ to people that we consider hopeless or incorrigible. He's willing to spend his life going to them and saying, the God who made you loves you. There is hope for you. You can change your life. You can be something more than you currently are. You can be a lot more than that with the grace of God. That's pretty much our job now. You know, after he left, ascended into heaven, he told the apostles, you go into the whole world now, and you bring this message of good news. So it's really our job to be doing this. We look at some of the people who do it, and we say, oh, we admire what they do. Maybe I can't do that. But there are things that we all can do. And one of them is to just be very much aware of those around us who may not be the most perfect in the world either, and who maybe also need somebody to say to them, there is a God who loves you. There is hope. You can always change. If you're willing to accept his message into your heart, if you're willing to embrace the love that he offers to you, you can change. You can be who he wants you to be, who you choose to be in his presence. So there's always people in our lives that we can bring that message to. I know people struggle with all kinds of things in our world today. Drugs is a curse in our society, in the world actually. It's a modern curse. And it is so widespread, affecting the lives of so many people. It's incredible. But what we like to do is sometimes just make like we don't know anything about it. Or that maybe some little thing that we can do, it'll make it go away. What the people really need, is to know that in spite of the struggle they have with this addiction to something like drugs, in spite of that addiction, the God who made them still loves them. The Book of Wisdom makes that very clear. He made all things. God is all powerful. He made everything that is, and he loves everything that he made. So sometimes we just need to let them know that. And sometimes by our own lives, we need to let them know that we feel that way too. That we love them for the possibility, for the goodness that is in them. And maybe somehow, hopefully, with that and with a lot of prayer, something can happen to allow them one day to think clearly enough to say, no, I don't need this anymore. But just think about it. We are called and sent into this world to be what Christ was in his time. He said, I came not to be served. I came to seek out the sick, the lost, and to bring them healing and peace. I came to serve all mankind. We look at Christ's attitude, we look at our own attitude. We kind of say, sometimes we have a long way to go. Sometimes we need a major change in attitude. But it's all possible because the God who made us loves us. And he keeps loving us until we become what he wants us to be.